بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, we were talking about the lessons from Surah Al-Kahf. As I mentioned, the four stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, yesterday we spoke about the first one, which is the story of the people of the Kahf. I mentioned some things about it yesterday. In continuation with that, two very important things to remember. One is that these were young people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word fitya in the Quran a couple of times in that surah. Fata is a young man, young person. And Allah therefore said these were young boys. And you know, they are not talking about little kids but youth. Now we know from the hadith of Rasulullah sallam that one of the seven people who will be shaded under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when there is no shade except his shade, one of those seven people is a young man or young woman who used to be involved in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their youth. This period of youth is very important because that is the period of maximum desire, shahawat, and also the maximum ability to fulfill those desires. So there is the desire is there plus also the ability is there. And especially if there is also some money and so on, then it becomes even easier for a person to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have taqwa, to fear the anger of Allah, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their youth. This is particularly beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And when these people in their youth are conscious of Allah and they are conscious of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they stand up against disobedience and when they try to avoid disobedience, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in ways which we cannot understand. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the example of these people, of the Ashab al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them in ways which are, we cannot understand them. There is no logic behind this. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to sleep in the cave along with their dog for 300 years. 309 lunar years, which is 300 solar years. Three centuries they slept, and they were made to turn from side to side. You know and I know that even in the best of beds, if a person is lying in one position for a long time, then he gets bed sores, right? This is a common thing in hospital in terms of patient care. You say make sure that they do not have bed sores, and the reason for a bed sore is because of pressure points. When they are not relieved, constant pressure on one part of the body creates bed sores. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them sleeping for 300 years and he made them turn from side to side so that they were their body was in good shape. Imagine your muscles are not being used for 300 years, they will simply waste away. They will simply waste away. When I had my motorbike accident and I had a knee operation, I had a thigh to ankle knee plaster for 2 months. When they took off the plaster, my leg was like a stick, like a walking stick. All the muscle, everything had wasted away. The skin had become black and it had scales on it. I mean, I could not recognize my own body. And that happened in 2 months. Imagine in 300 years what happens, right? But Allah did not allow this to happen. Second thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sun shine on them from one angle in the morning, another angle in the evening. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a sense of haybat, a sense of terror and fear in that particular cave, so that anyone who passed by would not dare to enter the cave. Because this is another issue. If they are sleeping there, then somebody goes there, they vandalize and so on and so forth. So they might be not just disturbed, but you know, damaged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow this to happen. Now think about this. All of these are things which are only in the control of Allah. No one can could have done that on their own. But this happened. Why? Because those youth, in their youth, They chose obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and above their desires and over and above anything else. And they stood up against the oppression of their community and that country. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this. So this is the one of the lessons, that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your youth. This is a very important thing to do, especially for those people who are young. This is something to remember, alhamdulillah. Those who are already obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, all power to them. Second thing is that these, all of these people, whatever the number was, the Quran does not specify a particular number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are wondering, are they five and the dog is the sixth, or they six and dog is the seven, or the seven dog is the eighth, and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their number. So this actually teaches us two lessons. Firstly, it also teaches us the lesson not to needlessly ask questions which are really of no benefit. How does it matter whether they were 7 or 5 or 8 or 5,000 or 10,000? Makes no difference to you. The lesson has to do with how to deal with a situation. Whether it is one person or 20 people, how does it matter? So this is another fitna that is there in our people, especially the so-called educated people, where they ask questions about things which are of no use. Somebody came to Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhi, and said, Yajuj and Majuj, were they Muslims? So Imam Ahmad said, you have finished with all knowledge, you are perfect, you have perfected all your knowledge completely, that now you have this question to ask. Somebody came and asked Imam Malik, on the moon, if you were praying, which direction would you face? So Imam Malik said, when you are ready to go to the moon, you come to me, I will tell you. I mean, this is from shaitan, because it's a waste of time. It's questions which have no value, but people ask. So this is also one of the lessons from this, inshallah. So this, the main lesson that I want to talk to you about is the fact that these people kept themselves together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Muslims, Kunu ma'a sadiqeen. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kunu ma'a sadiqeen. Allah said, oh, you believe, stay with the people who are truthful. So company is very important. Good company is very, very important. And when you have good company and you are with pious people, we are with muttaqeen, and you make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this dua. So again, this is also what they did. They didn't spread themselves around, surrounded by people who are disobedient to Allah. They, all of these people who were Muslims, they joined together and they went to one place and they stayed in that place. Right. So this also is something which is very beneficial to do, especially when in times like ours today, and times of stress, times of tests, where we are tested, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a very good thing to keep together and not get, fragmented and so on and so forth. Today we are characterized by fragmentation, not by taqwa, not by being together. Fragment. Every day there is a new firqa, every day there is a new reason to break away from the community. You don't like this, you don't like that, and so on and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is not the right thing to do. Stay together. And you stay together, why? Because you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, this ummah of yours is one ummah and I am your Rabb. So stay together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa'atasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. Allah said, hold on and hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not divide yourselves into branches and bits and pieces. Don't do that. Stay in one place, stay together. Right? It is true, we can have differences of opinion, there is no problem with that. But then we have to agree to disagree in a civil and decent manner, not by accusing each other and not by doing these things, with ihtiram, with respect for one another, right? Respect for one another. Even though you may have a difference of opinion, it doesn't matter. You have a difference of opinion. There is a famous story Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Rahmatullahi, he had, his fatwa is that somebody who eats camel meat, his wudu is invalid. So if he has eaten camel meat, then he must make wudu. Now, he was traveling somewhere and with his students, and they went to pray. Before the prayer, there was a meal, which was camel meat. So they all ate, including the imam of the masjid. Now, this imam was Maliki. Yeah, he was somebody from the Maliki fiqh. So, in Imam Malik's fiqh, your wudu is not invalidated. The wudu is invalidated only by the things that we know, but not by eating of camel meat. So, this imam also ate with them. And when they prayed, the Imam Ahmad and his students, they made wudu. But the imam of the masjid, he led salah. And Imam Ahmad prayed behind him. So now, the students, they asked him, they said, you know, your fatwa and your position is that camel meat invalidates wudu. Now here this man ate camel meat and he led salah, which means his wudu was not there. So how did you pray behind somebody who had no wudu? So Imam Ahmad said, if Malik bin Anas, rahmatullahi alayhi, was leading the salah, would I pray behind him? Yeah, if Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, himself, if he were to be leading salah, would I pray behind him? They said, of course. He said, praying behind a Maliki is like praying behind Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, did he therefore change his opinion? No. He had his opinion, and there is a dalil for his opinion, alhamdulillah, no problem with that. But does it mean that therefore he says, no, I will not pray behind you? No. So if you have a different opinion, if you are from a different madhab, different maslak, and you are doing something, I'm not saying somebody who says he is committing shirk or something. No, obviously, we are saying that difference in a maslak, difference in a interpretation of something, by all means, most welcome. The person who has one opinion, he has a dalil for this. The person who has another opinion, he also has a dalil for this. Alhamdulillah, both the dalail are good. You need not change your dalil, you need not change your position. But you also must not criticize the other person and break relationship with that person. And this is not from Islam. This is what we have, this is musibat we have brought on ourselves. And that is why this is what is creating intishar and creating division and creating all of this in the community, which is so bad and so nasty. We must always keep ourselves together. And this is the lesson also from the story of Ashab al-Kahf, that these were people who were pious people and they kept themselves together. And because they kept themselves together and they chose to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they stood up against the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them in His protection, and made sure that by the time He brought them back to awareness, that all the fitna, all the difficulties around them had disappeared. That whole community, that whole country had become Muslim already. So when they woke up, and they said, well, now we let us go find some food. So one of them said, well, I'll go to the market. When he went to the market and he produced he gave some money, that those people said, well, this money is 300 years old. I mean, where did you get this money from? So that is how people came to know that these people were actually, they were from that time. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jala jalalu to enable us to be among His obedient slaves. And I advise myself and you, keep together with people who are obedient to Allah. Do not go to places where there is disobedience of Allah. Do not go and don't say that, no, but you know, somebody invited me and so on. You are supposed to accept the invitation of people who fear Allah more than they fear the dunya. You are supposed to accept the invitation of people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to the people. Why do you accept such invitations? Don't accept the invitation. Don't go. And if somebody says, why did you not come? You tell him, you are asking me. You ask yourself, how do you openly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then you are inviting me, and if I don't come, you are saying, why didn't you come? So if you have no fear of Allah, if you don't think you are going to die one day, you expect me also to have this, to live in this khumar, to live in this fantasy? Say it. What will happen? He will shoot you, he will kill you, he will put you in jail. What will happen? So please stop fearing anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear only Allah. We do not fear anybody else. We will side and we will be with those people who are obedient to Allah. And we will not side and be with those people who are disobedient to Allah. Ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa wa la ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan. This is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum. Allah said, help one another in taqwa, in piety, and do not help one another in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay on the right path and to take us on the right path. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.